Well, Glory, are you still on a honeymoon? Has the honey leaked out of the honeymoon? Well, if it has, I'm going to tell you what's caused it. You've stopped courting. You stopped dating. You stopped doing all those little things to win the affections, to win the attention, to win the admiration of your husband or your wife. I've said it in a message previous. The greatest supreme secret for a successful, happy, wonderful marriage is understanding each other, understanding the needs of each other. You can go to an automobile, pour thousands of gallons of water in a tank, just keep pouring it in. It's not going to help it one bit. It isn't going to make it run. The man can do what he wants to do, and that's not going to make his wife run. It's not going to keep that honey. A man has to understand that woman needs attention. Thousand little ways that say, I still love you. You're the apple of my eye. That woman who knows he's the greatest guy and gives him that admiration. I want to look at about 11 reasons why people stop courting each other. Stop dating. Stop doing those little things they used to do to win the affections. Somebody said, a man doesn't live by bread alone. He needs buttering up once in a while. That's so true. Many women never understand that. So somebody said, the cooing stops after the honeymoon, but the billing goes on forever. And sometimes we stop looking at her and telling her how pretty her eyes, how beautiful her hair. But the billing goes on, and we need to understand. What are some reasons that people stop doing those little things that keep the sparkle in her eyes, that keep the smile on her face, that keep the spark in your marriage? What is it? Well, number one, finances. Probably the biggest single reason. Why don't you go on dates? I think I told about, went into the home to visit a couple, visit a lady, to invite her to church. She said, Preacher, I can't go to church. I don't have a thing in the world to wear. And then she told this story. She said, I got married when I was 15. She looked like she was 31. She was only 21. She said, we've had 3 children. They did not even have a rug in the house. They had 2 little old cane bottom chairs, a little old 98-cent end table, a 25-cent picture from a 10-cent store on the wall. That's all they had, bare. And she said, Preacher, we never go out. We can't even go out for a hot dog or a hamburger. And then she said, Preacher, I got cheated out of my youth. You know, too often couples, they get all the physical romantic attraction to each other and got to get married. They can't wait any longer. And then they go head over heels in debt. They got to have a new automobile and got to have a $500 television set. And then they're so head over heels in debt, they don't have any money to go out and have fun together. That's sin. Finances can cause so many problems. The old saying, when I was single, my pockets did jingle. And then we get married and we get so head over heels and we don't have any money to do things, to have those dates together. I hear people say, we can't afford to go out to eat. You can't afford not to. People say, we can't afford to go on vacation. You can't afford not to. You put your priorities wrong. You better get your priorities straightened out or your marriage is going to go to pot. Your children will go to hell. Because you don't have enough discipline of your life, don't have enough priorities in your life, and don't have enough dedication to God, don't have enough love for each other, that you don't get yourself so bogged down in debt. You can't do these little things you need to do to keep the joy in your marriage. God said, oh, no man anything. You be awfully careful about jumping into debt. You ought to burn up those charge cards and credit cards. My wife and I just don't use them. We don't use them. We don't buy a dime's worth of gas with them. And you better be careful. You better come to a place. You say, how can you afford it? I learned one day I could afford to do without a lot of junky stuff and put my priorities where they belong. We go out to eat. We do those things together that I know turns my wife on, puts that sparkle in her eyes, that smile on her face. Finances can often lead to a lot of problems and keep couples from dating like these two. Then there's a second cause of people to stop courting, and that is work. That's right, work. Sometimes Here, you get so far in debt and all, a man has to have two jobs. Man and his wife both have to work. Sometimes it's on different shifts. That's a tragedy. You better do without some things. Couples, he gets off of work at 3 and she's just going to work at 3. And she works 3 to 11. Then when she comes home, they don't have time to do anything together. And the weekends have to recuperate from all their hard work and everything. And they don't have time to enjoy life. Somebody said, take time to smell the roses. We better do it. And work can sometimes, two jobs, or maybe your work's the kind of work that's just dragging you down, and you better think about it. Work. We need to have time and energy and enthusiasm for each other to do those things. Man gets out and he's just working so hard he doesn't feel like going out, doesn't want to go out on a date, doesn't want to go out bowling, doesn't want to take his wife to the places that she wants to go. That can cause great problems, and we need to evaluate it. And sometimes a third thing that causes some people to stop those little things they used to do, and that's children. Now that's a tragedy. The Bible said in Psalm 127, verse 3, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Don't ever let that happen to you. My wife and I have 5 children. We had 3 children come bang, 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 2 years apart. My wife hardly get one out of the diapers and another one come, and we never slowed down. My wife said it hundreds of times to women, man, we never used our children as an excuse. She'd just grab one under one arm and one under the other, and I'd grab one, and we'd just go. We never kept it, let them keep us from eating in restaurants, in fine restaurants. We trained our children. They never screamed. Not one of my children ever threw a tantrum. Never threw a tantrum in a restaurant. We didn't let them throw it in a home. They never kicked and stomped and screamed. You better learn to discipline your children. You better learn, teach them to have proper respect for their authority in the home. They don't learn to obey their father here. I guarantee they won't learn to obey their father up in heaven. Sometimes children. That is a great tragedy that parents do not have the discipline of their children. God said, he that spares the rod hates his son. Oh, God doesn't mean to be cruel and brutal and abuse your children. Of course not. He made a nice soft spot for you to spank them with. They ought not to be bruised. Never hit your children on the head. But I'll tell you one thing, you better learn to discipline. God said, don't spare the rod for his cries and crying. Said if you beat him, he'll not die, but he'll learn respect. He'll learn honor and discipline. And so children ought not to be, but some people let their children be a hindrance to them doing what they ought to do. And it's tragedy. Spend all their time, all the energy on the children, and don't let your children become the god of your home. They're not to rule the roost or run the roost. Don't let your children take the place of your love for each other. Give them the time you need to give to each other. And that means that husbands need to help their wives with their children. I saw a cartoon. I think it's most fabulous cartoon. This cartoon that showed this woman standing at the kitchen stove with one child under one arm, another one in a high chair. The pot's boiling, the dog's chasing the cat, screaming and all, and something's burning on the stove. And he looks over and said, Helen, I don't understand you. You used to be such a fun person. Well, yes. And he's sitting there like a slob, doing nothing to help her. And then he wonders why she's lost her enthusiasm and fun. Well, sometimes people let their children, and that's a tragedy. And then sometimes society. We're living in an age which is so tragic. An age that men have made women their sex objects. Why? God have mercy on the soap operas today. Why, it's just laughed about. Guy goes out and makes out with a woman. The first thing takes, he's married. Doesn't matter. Get in bed and talk about the husbands or the wives. That's a tragedy. Society is geared today that a man's not to be that one that honors and loves his wife and shows respect. Here's a man that, the guy says, hey, let's go out and do so and so. And the guy says, well, let me call my wife first. And they look and say, oh, henpecked Harry. Bark, 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 bark. He's not henpecked. He's got sense. He loves his wife more than he does those guys. He cares about her feelings. And see, society has gotten to the place of sarcasm and disrespect and dishonor. And when men, women, I don't know, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And women's lib, that's so unscriptural, unlady, ungodly. The natural thing in the heart of a woman until she gets messed up with some false concepts is to be in submission to her husband. God said her desire shall be to him. God said it. God put it in the woman. And she has to get perverted, warped, to get to a place she doesn't want to be in submission to her husband. Oh, any woman who hadn't been all messed up will tell you she'd love to find some man she can look up to and honor and give herself to him and look to him for that godly and spiritual leadership and direction in the home. So society today has changed so that we've lost our sensibility about so many things. Then there's a fifth reason, I think, that some people have stopped courting. Those little things that need to be done, and that is hurt feelings. I've used it before, Proverbs 18:14, God said, a wounded spirit, who can bear? Well, the answer is nobody. The Bible said the spirit of a man will sustain him, sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Nobody can. And sometimes there are people who have hurt feelings. A rejected lover. A wife who gets rejected. A wife who is treated as nothing but a maid or a mistress. And we've not apologized. You know what we need so much today? We need to learn to apologize. God said in the Bible, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Never go to bed angry. I saw a cartoon that was a riot. Here was a man lying on a mattress on the floor, his wife sleeping in the couch. And the couple that knew him well said, well, they've been that way ever since the counselor told them never go to bed angry. They're just not going to go to bed. And so they're all sleeping and huddled up somewhere. And you know, we need to learn to apologize to each other. Have you hurt your wife? Have you hurt her feelings? Did you come in and ignore? Did you come in a thousand little ways? Here's some man gets chewed out at the office, some two-bit boss. Somebody did him harm or hurt. Comes in, takes it out on the dog and the wife and the children. That's sin. We need to apologize. Hurt feelings causes resentment. And we don't respond to each other as we ought to. Unrequited love, unresponded to, can crush anybody's spirit. Then there's a sixth thing that I believe can cause, and that's selfishness. You know, the natural tendency, the natural way of a man, this old sin nature of ours, makes us to be selfish. God said in Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things. Don't look out for number one. Look out for others. We need that so much. We're so selfish. I am so selfish. I am so selfish. My most natural trait is just not give a hoot about anybody else. Want to do my own thing. That's sinful. That's old sin nature. And sometimes selfishness gets predominant in a home. And couples do not respond to each other because of pure selfishness. Totally unaware of each other's needs. Insensitive to each other's desires. And so we don't do it. Do the things we ought to do. I saw this cartoon of the lady lying on a couch and eating chocolate-covered cherries and had a soda pop in one hand. And she looked up to her husband as he walked in at night wanting to know what they're going to have for dinner. And she says, ask not what you can do. Ask not what your wife can do for you, but ask what can you do for your wife. Well, we're living that way. Selfishness. That we're not concerned about doing those things to please others. What do you do? What you used to do? Those little things you used to do to court, to some little thing you do to make him look at you, want you. What are those things you used to do to attract the attention of each other? Let's go back to doing it. Then there's another thing that keeps us from courting today, and that's we're too tired. We're living in such a rushed, hurried world today. I used to live in Chicago. I commuted 39 miles every day. Rushed to catch the train. Rushed to do this and rushed to do that. Up in Chicago, there are two things that predominate, time and temperature. Everybody wants to, what's the time, what's the temperature? Catch the train, catch the bus. And we're living in such hectic lives today, rushing to go somewhere, rushing here and rushing there. There's a great verse, Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Learn to be quiet, God says. We need that. And we get so rushed and we do so many things that we don't have time for each other. We're too tired to go on a date, too tired to do something we ought to do. Let's do those things we used to do to keep the honey in the honeymoon. Those dates you used to have, that courting you used to do. Let's go back to it. Then an eighth thing can be laziness. Plain, old-fashioned, terrible laziness. You know, we can get awfully lazy. It's mighty easy to do it. Just be lazy. God said in Proverbs 13:4, "The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing." And that's true. God said, go to the end. Look at him. We can be awfully lazy. And here's a man, sure you worked hard and all, but your wife wants to go out. You don't want to be bothered. Or we just get sluggish. We don't keep our health up, don't keep our physical fitness up. It's so important. Your body is a temple of God. And we ought to keep it up. Don't let laziness take over that you can't go out and do the things you ought to do. That's sin. And so we need to be aware that laziness will cause us to get sluggish and not pay attention to each other, not keep ourselves up, not keep ourselves dressed and groomed, and so that we attract the attention and admiration of each other. Then there's a ninth thing that I found can cause some real problems in why we don't date, why we don't keep courting each other. And that is, we have no mutual interest. No mutual interest. Each does his own thing. I saw a cartoon of a couple went up to the travel agent. And I said, two round trip tickets, one clockwise and one counterclockwise. They were going around the world. They won two round trip tickets around the world. One's going one way and one's going the other. That's a tragedy. You hear about people going on, they go on vacations all by themselves and so on. Hey, you know, you have to work at it. You have to work at finding the things that you both like to do. I used to like to play golf. My wife had no interest in it. And we began to play tennis together. You know, there was about 2 years that we'd go out and play tennis. A lot of time we'd go and pack a picnic lunch and go out and play tennis for half an hour or so and then have a lunch, picnic lunch. And I wasn't the greatest fan in the world for tennis. That was not my real thing. But I tell you, I love my wife, and we had the greatest joy. We had so much fun doing it. And we've learned things. I used to be in a Boy Scout. I love camping. My wife couldn't care less. But lo and behold, we got introduced one day to travel trailers that are air-conditioned and got automatic everything, got their own stove, and you got your own tub and wash and water and everything there. And lo and behold, my wife and I have had for years, we've had the greatest joy of a travel trailer. We took a 5,800-mile trip 1 year. Had the greatest joy in the world with all five of our children. My children to this day will tell those are some of the greatest years of our lives. We found something we both enjoyed. Compromise on both sides. What are the things that both of you like? Here's a guy, he loves drag racing. She couldn't care less. He drags her out to the drag races, and she can't stand the smell of all that stink that's out there, the engines and all, and the roar, the noise, but he doesn't care. He demands her to go. We need to look for things that we both enjoy. Mutual interest. Work at it. Find out what you really enjoy together. Then magnify those. I quit golfing. I hardly ever go now. I found some things that my wife enjoys. It doesn't mean you have to give up everything, all your fun, but find some mutual interest that you can enjoy together. Then there's a tenth reason that a lot of couples stop their dating, and that is no planning. No planning. And you know, you're the head of the home, sir. We're the head of the home. That means we're the leader. We're to lead the way. Being the head of the home doesn't give you great privileges. It gives you an awesome responsibility. As the head of that home, you're to be the leader. You're to plan some dates and plan some things that are going to you're going to enjoy. On one of our anniversaries recently, I planned it. I know my wife loves to go over to Williamsburg, the pottery plant over there, and go shopping. So I planned it. We went over and spent the night, drove over leisurely, went out to eat, spent a night over there, and then got up the next day, and I just turned her loose and went with her. Boy, did you say, I don't enjoy shopping. I don't either. My wife's got more energy. Most women can out-shop a man 100 to 1. They can walk all day. They come on and say their feet's hurting, but my, they have had a ball. And I walked every step with her. And you know what? We had the sweetest time. You see, I enjoyed being with her. I didn't enjoy shopping, except I enjoyed being with her. And being with her made shopping enjoyable. We'd walked, I felt like 100 miles. But I knew what would put the sparkle in her eyes. I knew what she enjoyed, and we did that. And then when I want to do something, it's not nearly as hard for her to say, sure, honey, let's do it. She may not get the greatest bang out of it. So there needs to be some planning. I planned it. Man, it was a one-night honeymoon afresh. We had a great day. And we need to plan. Husbands need to work at it. Dr. Lewis Sperry Chafer used to tell, I was still single and dumb. I didn't understand it, but once a month, he and his wife came down and ate, all dressed up fancy, under candlelight, ate dinner in their best bib and tuck. Once a month, they'd come down to an elegant evening. Now, that's sweet. We need to get busy at this stuff. We need to get back to the old basics and do the things that we mutually enjoy. For years, my mother and dad, it just sort of became accustomed that we went to Key's Chili Parlor in Jacksonville, Florida, every Saturday night. It was almost a ritual, but it was something they both enjoyed. Wasn't a fancy, wasn't any expensive meal. Even during the Depression, I remember it. But they mutually enjoyed it. And I can look back, I can remember it like it was yesterday. We go out, and it was just fun, going out and talking and visiting and having fun together. Then I remember they shifted and they got to eating Chinese food. We went to a Chinese restaurant almost every Saturday night. Planned on it. Worked at it. Sometimes there needs to be some planning. It's more important than your job. More important than your golf. It's amazing how guys will plan hunting trips, fishing trips, golfing with their buddies. They'll get the books and read up how to improve their golf. They'll find out what's the newest lure and the latest lure and the latest thing to catch fish with. They'll do all it. Where's the best place to go fishing? Where's the best place to go hunting? They'll plan and work at it. Oh, dear sir, dear lady, your marriage and mine's a million times more important than that. Why don't we work at it? Why don't we work at it? Why don't we read? Why don't we study? Men ought to read some of these books on marriages. Tragic, most men don't. We're too bullheaded. We're too proud. Too stubborn to change our ways. I've heard men boast about, can't teach an old dog new tricks. You better learn some, fella. You better learn some. My wife got one of the most sad, tragic letters we've ever known. A girl who left her husband, said she loved him anyway, but he wasn't doing all the things he ought to do, and there were some other problems, and she left him. And then she thought he would go. She said, I thought he'd come running after me. But he didn't. There were some other problems and family relations and one thing and another. And he didn't go running after her. And he misread her signals and she misread his. They're divorced now. He's getting married again. And she wrote my wife, shocked and crushed and wondering, what's happening. Why didn't I do something about it? It's too late. And you better wake up, dear sir, dear lady. You're going to kill your marriage. You're going to kill all the affection, kill all the desire, because you will not do what you used to do to win that attention, win that affection, win that admiration. Don't quit. And then there's 11th that I think is maybe the biggest single reason. That is a lack of love. A lack of love. Oh, I don't mean romantic attraction. I don't mean romantic. Oh, I've said it so many times. My wife's hair has turned gray and mine's turned loose. We both lost our youthful figures and youthful appearances and all. But I love my wife dear today. Not nearly the romantic side, but I've got more agape love. That's divine love. And if you don't love your wife, the real truth, you don't blame it on the physical attraction. Blame it on your lack of fellowship with God. You're out of fellowship with God. Why don't you admit it, sir? Why don't you admit it, lady? You're not walking with God. If you had agape love, that unselfish love, that kind of love where you're far more interested in making her happy than making you happy. You see, that's selfishness. That's carnality. Oh, you don't go out and drink. You don't go dancing or whatever. But the biggest sin the Christian today is of carnality is selfishness, self-centeredness, not wanting to make the other person happy. Don't give a hoot. If you've come to that place, don't blame anything on all the other things of the world, the external things. Blame it on your lack of love, lack of agape love, lack of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You see, the Holy Spirit of God has to produce that. I love to talk to lost people about Jesus. Everybody who knows me knows that I witness. People say if it moves, Sumner will witness to it. If it's breathing, he's going to witness to it. Well, I wish that were 100% true, but I do talk to folks about Jesus. Why do I do it? Because I love them. Some warm, fleshly, romantic feeling? Of course not. What is it? The fruit of the Spirit? Agape, that love of God that constrains us. We need that love of God to constrain us for one another, to love each other. That agape love where you want to make her happy. You care whether she's happy. You care whether you please her or not. You care. When a man says, I don't give two hoots, I don't care anymore, you're walking in the flesh, sir. That is pure and simply carnality. Walking in the flesh, out of fellowship with God. That's your problem. Get to the root of it. Get to the root of it. Quit trying to get out here and pick the weeds out of the garden. Get to the root of it. You can clip the weeds all day long. The root's still there. And if you don't love your wife, you put it down. You're not in love with God. Your life's not right with God. Why don't you get right? If you're not saved, Jesus suffered and died on that cross for you, sir. Or you've got romantic feelings. You've had them. That's what you had when you got married. But you're not really saved. You can't love your wife. You can't have that unselfish love until you admit, God, I've sinned against you. I believe Jesus suffered and died on that cross. I believe he rose for me. Lord Jesus, save me. Come into my heart and save me. If you're not saved, let him save you today. If you are saved, you've been out of fellowship, come back today. Confess the sin. Confess the selfishness. Confess the lack of doing what you ought to do. And ask God to forgive you and to restore that first love down in your heart. And then work at it. Get busy courting each other. Courting each other till that love is revived afresh.